Welcome back in to the Chase McCabe Show. Junie Riddle, Joe Dubin here filling in for Chase McCabe live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling and Electrical Studios. Joining us now, we have the voice of Vanderbilt football and baseball, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It's college football season, like it is here. So I'm doing great. I can honestly feel the energy bubbling up throughout the past couple of days. So it's been fun.
No, absolutely. Vanderbilt kicking off tomorrow against Hawaii at 6:30. You can hear that right here again on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Now, Andrew, the first question I want to get in here with you is about quarterback A.J. Swan. You know, last year he was getting thrown into the mix in and out of the lineup. But this is his first season as the starter, as the guy going in camp. How has he looked and how has he kind of progressed from year one to year two at Vanderbilt?
Well, I think the coaching staff feels like he's looked really good throughout the course of fall camp. You know, he came in and out of the lineup a season ago, in part because of injuries, in part because of the performance of Mike Wright, and then Mike Wright comes back and performs well against Kentucky and Florida. So that's a difficult thing. Like, A.J. Swan is going into his sophomore season, but sort of in reality, in terms of real gameplay, he's about midway through his freshman season. I think the thing that is going to be the most unique for him this season is, yes, he is more studied, he's more polished, he understands the offense better, but what he's also done is he's put real game tape out there for opposing defensive coordinators. So, you know, the metaphor for baseball would be that, you know, if you learn how to hit a fastball, eventually people are going to throw you a curveball. And defenses at this point are going to start to throw him some curveballs that he's not seen before. And he told me that, too. I talked with him maybe a week or two ago about the fact that he's going into a unique situation where a season ago you could sort of rely on natural talent. And this season it's going to be way more between the ears, handling everything that opposing defenses are going to throw him, but he's got the arm talent. He's got the skill set to rise to that challenge. He's just going to have to do it on Saturdays.
So another big name on this offense that I keep hearing about is wide receiver Will Shepard, a senior going into this season. So tell me about what he's been doing through fall camp, and what is something that we could see from him on Saturdays throughout the season?
Well, he's certainly got the heights and he's got the vertical leaping ability to go win one-on-one matchups. What's going to be significant for Will throughout the course of the season, candidly, is not just Will. I mean, I think Will's very, very motivated. If you kind of peel back the onion on Will's story, there was probably, I think, a hope for him to turn pro a season ago. And as the NFL scouts started to dive into his game tape, they wanted more. So his draft stock would dip from the fourth round to the fifth to the sixth to the seventh. And it became apparent to him that if he was going to be what he expected to be at a draft and NFL level, he needed to prove more at the collegiate level. So he's a motivated guy. What is going to be necessary around him is a running game, obviously, which does need to replace its starting running back, but does have its entire offensive line back, so that helps. And then the elevation of some really gifted but relatively inexperienced wide receivers around him, including a couple of local kids, whether it's London Humphreys out of CPA or whether it's Junior Sherrill out of Lipscomb. There's a lot of talent in that room. So for Will to be his best version, and not to sound like a coach, I get it, but he genuinely is going to need the other pieces, because otherwise he's going to get doubled, and that's a problem for anybody in the SEC.
Talking to Andrew Allegretta, the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Andrew, you know, I grew up in Nashville, so I know a lot of history of Vanderbilt football, and every year it's like, you know, this is going to be the year. But it feels different this year with Clark Lee and the momentum off last year. And then you look at the first six games of this season, and I know if you talk to a football coach, I said this yesterday with Chase, the only game that matters to Clark Lee is Hawaii right now, and I understand that. But this is a very winnable – the first six games are very winnable. There's a lot of positive momentum in this football team, not just talk, but you kind of feel it a little bit. Maybe that's just me, but you kind of feel that this Vanderbilt team could be a little bit different this year.
First off, Joe, I do want to note that I live like 2-3 miles down the road from McGavick High School, so I did want to curry favor with you on that particular note.
Yes.
there's a lot of positive momentum for the program. And you've got to play it out on the field. Nobody's burying their head in the sand in terms of you can't just talk it in August and not perform it in September, October, November. I think Clark would be the first to admit that to you. To me, guys, this all centers on the fact, well, there's two things in terms of the football team itself. First, Clark has the most remarkable sense of self about any coach I've been around. Maybe like Coach Corbin and Clark Lee. I'm not saying they're the same coach yet because of obviously Corbin has two national championships. I just mean people that are grounded in what they believe, who they are, and the vision that they have for their programs. That's important at Vanderbilt when there's a lot of external noise that can bump you off your course. And Clark does not let this program get bumped off of his course because of his personal belief in what he sees for this program. That's remarkably significant. Like, don't underplay that. And then the second is the obvious elevation of talent on the field. Like, Will Shepard is an NFL caliber, if he performs to his ability, wide receiver. But he can't do it alone. And what's significant is in that wide receiving room, this season has the potential to be another 2, 3, or 4 NFL wide receivers, again, if they perform to their ability. So, and you can speak to this as much as anybody, Joe, and can even give me context. Like, there has obviously been flashes through Vanderbilt's history where they have had NFL talent, but getting the most out of your players requires depth to ease the pressure off of them. That's why Alabama, LSU, so on and so forth are so great. That's why the baseball program at Vanderbilt is so great, is because, you know, if it's Kamar Rocker, doesn't have to do the whole thing, because on Saturday they'll give the ball to Jack Leiter. So I think the fact that there is an obvious elevation of NFL potential on the roster means a great deal for the accessibility of the schedule that they have.
We talk about, you know, the positive momentum. What's the worst case scenario for Clark Lee if we talk to you at halftime tomorrow night? What's the worst thing that could go wrong for him?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think being down 3 touchdowns at halftime to a Hawaii team, you're supposed to dominate. I think that, I mean, okay. I don't.
What about being down 4 touchdowns?
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
No, I don't mean to be facetious.
No, I get you.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, the worst case scenario is I don't even really know how to play out the worst case scenario. I think this team has the expectation that they should win this ball game,
right,
and the belief that they should win this ball game. But they also don't go into it, guys, with naivete either. Yeah, last year was 63-10, but this is the second season for Timmy Chang. They've got the run-and-shoot offense back. It's not going to be fully formed yet, but that's a challenging offense, especially for a Vanderbilt secondary that has to prove itself after being gashed a bunch a season ago. So I think they believe and expect to win the game on Saturday, but I also believe they know they're going to get a fight from a motivated, emotional Hawaii team that's in the second year of a coaching staff. So they're going through the same elevation process that Vanderbilt went through, just kind of on a 12 to 24 month delay.
Yeah, you're right with that. All, you know, and also, you know, if they could go 6-0, which would be fantastic, because they can beat Kentucky, they can beat Missouri, they can win those first 4 games and head into that Florida game in October at 6-0. Now you're playing with house money. Now it becomes a whole different season. And man, that would be fantastic for them to be 6-0 headed to Florida, because that back half of the schedule, it's tough. And you know it's going to be tough playing the SEC, but boy, that'd be an ideal situation for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it'd be great. And I am right there with you, and I'm right there with the fan base as well. I think one thing I'll tack on to that, and it's part of the reason that I really like working with Clark and I like being around him. One of his kind of central talking points coming off of last season, especially when we talked to him in the spring and so on and so forth, was, you know, he was getting the praise for going 5-7. And he would always come back to the fact that, like, great, thank you. But ultimately, 5 wins is not the goal. I don't want to celebrate. And this is his verbiage. Doesn't want to celebrate mediocrity. And I love that. Right. So he has stated the goal to have postseason play in 2023, and this all cycles back to the first comment I made about you can see Clark's identity everywhere starting to run through this program, and it takes time. Like, it wasn't there in year one. It was starting to get there in year two, and it's even stronger in year three. This idea that, and again, when you spend time with someone, you start to talk like them, but external narratives don't drive their internal motor. Like, that, it's coach speak, but when you reinforce it every day,
right,
you start to live it. And Clark very much reinforces that consistently, and you can see the drive of the team. Again, have to prove it on the field. No one's ducking it. But you can see the internal motor going.
Last one for you here, Andrew. You mentioned London Humphreys, who's a local guy from CPA. I covered him last year, but it seems that this Vanderbilt team has been pulling a lot of local talent. Can you kind of talk about how some of these local kids are doing with Vanderbilt right now, and how that impact of the talent around here may be helping uplift this program?
Yeah, I think the first part of that, Junior, the recognition that it wasn't necessarily easy for Clark to just go get local talent because of the narrative externally at times of the football program. And I think there is a lot of praise that is deserved for Barton, for Clark, to being focused, the stick-to-itiveness to turn the external narrative on the high school football scene about what it means to play for Vanderbilt. And London Humphreys had a fantastic fall camp. Like, he is a guy that can be a home run threat. Alex Bailey, the wide receiver coach, very much feels like he has a role. He does need to prove he can do more than just be explosive downfield. Junior Sherrill is probably the one that has stood out the most in terms of local talent, wide receiver from Lipscomb. He's built like Jaden McGowan, but moves differently. He's more shifty and agile in the slot. He for sure is going to have a role this season. Exactly what, I don't know, but he'll have a role. And then the other two, one specifically right out of high school at Vanderbilt that I'm really curious to see play, is going to be Langston Patterson, the linebacker. Obviously his brother Kane is the upperclassman that transferred from Clemson, but of the hardest hits that we saw in fall camp, and frankly at times a little bit over the line, they came from Langston Patterson. Like, he is a physical, tough football player, and I would not be surprised to see a few linebacker hit sticks from him throughout the course of the season.
That's Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football and baseball. Andrew, thank you for taking the time.
Hold on, Andrew, before you go, you're a Donaldson boy now?
I'm a Donaldson boy. Well, I mean, like, technically, if you want to get into the nitty gritty, I'm a Pennington Bend boy, but I'm a Donaldson boy.
We'll claim you. We need more good people in Donaldson. We claimed you. Don't worry about it. You and The Rock and myself, we're all Donaldson boys at heart.
I say I live in Donaldson. Like, you start to get into nitty-gritty Pennington Bend, and sometimes you do lose people. But Donaldson, yeah.
Attaboy. All right. You just went up two notches in my bed, buddy. Well done.
Appreciate the time, Andrew. Vanderbilt takes on Hawaii at home at Vanderbilt Stadium tomorrow at 6:30. Again, you can hear the game right here on 102.5 and 106.3 of the game. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit of college football in week zero. I want to hear some of Joe's takes about the state of college football in general. So coming up next,
okay,
we'll get into that. You're listening to the Chase McCabe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 of the game.
Okay.